7. Psalm 18, beginning at verse 18, a reading through to verse 27. Now let's give attention to the reading of sacred scripture. Verse 18. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but Jehovah was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Jehovah rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I've kept the ways of Jehovah and have not acted, have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, Jehovah has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. Verse 25, with the merciful you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man you will show yourself blameless. With the pure you will show yourself pure, and with the devious you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks. Much here that we could spend a bit of time, but we want to quickly deal with it, the substance of it, and then come to prayer. We know that the psalmist is speaking about his many troubles and trials, and he speaks to us with specificity as he introduces it in the first verse. In Psalm of David, the servant of Jehovah, he spoke to Jehovah the words of this song, and here it is, the circumstance. On the day that Jehovah delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. That is the background. And these difficulties that he faced in those times were life-threatening, verses 4 to 5. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol, or death, or Hades, surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. So he's speaking in terms of tremendous, life-threatening, repetitive dangers. Now this evening, I want us to consider verses 20 to 24 in the first place, because we need to understand this, which is quite a complex and confusing portion of scripture coming from the lips of the great prophet David. He is speaking, of course, in verses 18 to 19, and we'll come to it, and he's spoken about this before, about Jehovah's deliverance and salvation of him. Spoken about it, of course, in verse 1 and then through up to verse 19, and then closes with it in verse 19 about Jehovah's deliverance. Verses 20 to 24, and then also in the general sense of Jehovah's response in verses 25 to 27, he's giving us two specific reasons as to why Jehovah delivered him. And as I say, verses 20 to 24 is a little confusing. And we can be led astray if we do not think through this in a biblical way. So the reason he gives about Jehovah's deliverance in verses 20 to 24, he also gives a reason in verse 19, which I trust we'll have time to look at least briefly, is that Jehovah delivers him, verse 20, according to his righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. In fact, in verse 23, and that's what I was marking when I was reading it in my Bible, he goes so far as to say, I was also blameless before him, that is Jehovah, and I kept myself from my iniquity. So we do have to stop and think about this, do we not? What is David actually saying here? Is he saying that, as he has already said, that he is blameless, and it is because of his righteousness that Jehovah has delivered him? Is this a works righteousness reason that David is expressing here? Well, of course, you've all heard that whenever we are confused or we have difficulty with a particular verse or section, the first thing to do is read on. In other words, read more of the scriptures. Not only read on, you're reading in the Psalms, you've got to read from the very beginning. So let's think about some of the things that David has said about his righteousness. And I've only picked a few verses, and these are all from the mouth of David. Psalm 14 and verse 1, it's a psalm of David. And this is what he says. There is none who does good. Jehovah looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Verse 3, they have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. I picked this because this is one of the verses that that Paul the apostle picks up in Romans chapter 3 to indict all men, the Gentiles who do not have the law and the Israelites who have the law. So this is what David said four psalms ago. But here he says he is blameless. And it's because he has kept himself from iniquity that Jehovah has saved him. Psalm 16, two psalms ago, he says, "Oh, my soul, you have said to Jehovah, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you." In other words, he's saying that all that is good in him is because of Jehovah, that in himself there is no good thing or righteousness. Or let's look at Psalm 51. "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Speaking about the depravity of sin into which he was born. Our fathers have framed it total depravity. Now, total depravity doesn't mean every human being is as depraved as they can be, but it means the totality of our faculties are depraved by sin, touched and corrupted by sin. Our intellect, our emotion, and our wills, all of them are corrupted. The totality of the makeup and the fabric of our being. Again, by David the psalmist. And now we move forward a little. Psalm 65 and verse 1. This is a psalm of David. And this is what he says. in verse 3 of that psalm. Iniquities prevail against me. Have you ever read this psalm? It's one of my favorite psalms. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. So David is admitting that iniquities prevail against him. He's admitting that transgressions are part of his own life. Our transgression, he doesn't say just yours. And then he says you will provide atonement for them, for our transgressions. In other words, he's one among the sons of men that need atonement for their transgressions, for his transgression. So what exactly is David saying? Has David changed his position? Of course not, because this is what he says before Psalm 18 and after Psalm 18, however it is arranged, but it's there throughout. Or has David, and I speak reverently, because we must honor God's servants, has he changed his position, or has he gone, has he taken leave of his senses? That's the other option. Not at all. He's set apart and used of God to write these words. So what does David mean when he says, Jehovah has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. I was also blameless before him. See, he's not here speaking about his standing before God in the searching light of God's Spirit and his word. Not at all. He's speaking in terms of specific instances that he's already detailed. You'll notice he speaks about Saul, and you all know the story of Saul. Saul was anointed of Jehovah to be the king of Israel. But Saul, in his envy and his power hunger, and these are things that exist in church, I mean, not to this degree in most churches, most true churches, but we all like to hold our ground, had become quite twisted. And he wanted to eliminate Saul. And he attacked him many times, furtively or secretly. He also attacked him directly. Remember the time he threw a spear when David was playing the harp for Saul, serving him. And then, of course, you remember how he was made a fugitive. And as Saul hunted him like an animal, a criminal. And what do you see David doing? The Lord delivered Saul a number of times into David's hands. And David says, I will not touch the anointed of Jehovah. You see what he's saying? He's blameless in his dealings with Saul in that specific instance. If you take the second part of verse 1 now, it probably needs a little bit more elucidation, but I leave it with you. I'm sure it's reasonably plain. But let me give you a couple other examples. It speaks about Saul and all his other enemies. I'll give you two more examples. You remember, in the case of Absalom, how David behaved with humility. He should have destroyed that rebel son for the sake of Israel. But he behaves with humility. In the case of Shimei, you know the story of Shimei. 2 Samuel 16:5. Now when King David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. Coming from there, he came out cursing continuously as he came. And he threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Also Shimei said thus when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. Jehovah has brought upon you the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And Jehovah has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please let me go over and take off his head, which is what he deserved. But then verse 10, but the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because Jehovah has said to him, curse David. Who then shall say, why have you done so? See, in the case of Saul, you remember the times he let him go, cutting off the corner of his robe and then speaking to him, and then Saul melts. And this has got nothing to do, these are personal vitriolic attacks. It's got nothing to do with church discipline. You remember how in 2 Corinthians 3:6 we are told, Paul tells us, but we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly. In Romans 16:17, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses in the church, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. But when it came to these personal attacks by the one who was anointed of the Lord, now you see what David is saying. By the way, this is David. You know, we often talk about his sin. We must not only talk about his sin, which was grievous, we must talk about the depth of his repentance. But you also see this magnanimous, generous, godly responses in the case of Saul and Shimei. And he is saying that in these situations, he acted blamelessly. And he humbled himself. Did he not before Jehovah? Why did he not give the order to take the head of Shimei? Because he humbled himself before God. As 1 Peter 5:7 says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Isn't that why he spared Saul? He humbled himself before God. He was God's anointed. Saul was. You notice how this section, the end of this section says, verse 27, for you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks. He saved David. He brought down Saul and Shimei and Absalom. And now let's go back to verse 19 and close with it. Let's look at verse 18. First of all, David says there specifically, they confronted me in my calamity. Days of calamity befall the children of God. Again, I'm going to give you two examples because we don't have the time to elaborate. You remember the days of calamity of Jacob with Laban for 20 years. Confrontation and constriction. Because the next verse is about constriction by implication in the opposite sense. We will explain that in a minute. But he was pressed for 20 years. Remember Joseph? For 20 years. A slave and then in prison. And then the contrast. Oh, by the way, that's part and parcel of a believer's life. You might find that tomorrow when you go to work. It might be a customer. It might be your boss. It might be a circumstance in our life. We all have it. And then the contrast, verse 19. He also brought me out to a broad place. In other words, he brought relief. Sometimes there is relief within the difficulty. I'm sure Jacob experienced a relief from time to time in those 20 years. But finally, he brought him out of that place and gave him elbow room, freedom. You find this, don't you, in our own pressures and difficulties, in our own relationships. You might get difficult relationships, but the Lord relieves us from time to time, gives us elbow room, not always constricted. That's what happened to David. After 7 years, David was anointed king over the whole of Israel, and he had more elbow room. A broad place, he says. Was not without trouble. He had trouble even at the very end. And on his deathbed, he's instructing Solomon who Solomon is to punish for the sake of the progress of the kingdom. Never without trouble, but there's always room that the Lord makes lest we come down on discouragement. There have been many times, have there not, when we've been constrained by pressures and difficulties. Might be circumstances. Isaiah 43 puts it through flood and through fire. Isn't it true when you look back on your life? The Lord has provided you relief in the midst of the trouble. And you're here when you thought many times you couldn't. And of course, I include myself, we couldn't see another day of this kind of pressure. But He's made a place that is broad, a little bit more room to move. And He's given us a time of relief so that we could carry on. We must praise Him for that, as David says in verse 19, who also brought me out into a broad place. And by the way, he gives another reason here. He delivered me because he delighted in me. God's good grace. And many times we have seen others suffer, and we must encourage ourselves and praise Him for His goodness to us as we see how He has dealt with His own people throughout the running centuries. You might be going through a difficult period. You might be going through a chronic problem. I know some of you have had difficulties that have lasted decades. But all of us, as children of God, should remember He has delivered us from death and judgment and hell. He's given us elbow room in the midst of all the troubles of this life. We don't understand troubles and we don't understand the proportion of it. We see others who have more freedom, and some of God's people have inexplicable difficulties. But all of us know this. He's delivered us from sin and Satan and death. We must praise Him for that. And we must be assured that one day He will move us from this world into the everlasting kingdom of the Son of God, who is our great deliverer. We sang that hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Is there trouble anywhere? Well, you could actually change anywhere to everywhere. There's trouble everywhere at some time or another. There's certainly trouble even in our land, which is one of the greatest and most blessed lands as far as circumstances are concerned. But the Lord is our deliverer. He will make broad places for us. He has done so. Let's praise Him for it in our prayers. And let us trust Him to lead us through the floods of circumstances and the fires of difficulties into that ultimate place of freedom and blessing and fullness of peace and prosperity, which is the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His Father. And the hymn we are going to sing now is hymn number 93, Through All the Changing Scenes of Life, in Trouble and in Joy. The praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue applaud. This is not some psychology or some mantra. It's because of these very reasons. We can see how God has eased the trouble of His people, how He is their rock and deliverer. Of His deliverance I will boast, till all that are distressed from my example comfort take and charm their griefs to rest. Oh, magnify Jehovah with me. With me exalt His name. When in distress to Him I call, He to my rescue came. Well, let's sing this, and then I'm going to ask Tim to open in prayer, and then Juliet will pray, and I'll close in prayer.